Hey, this is Jeremy. Just wanted to hop on before the episode started with a few announcements. We really want to hear from you, and perhaps the best way to do that, we actually have a subreddit now. It's just r/polyphonicpress, and I'll leave a link to it in the show notes. But it's always been my dream to have a community where we can all get together and talk about the albums that we review and just music in general. So if you want to join the community and start the community, really, because it's quite small right now, it's just r/polyphonicpress. And you can always help out the show in various ways. You can check out our Patreon and get these episodes the day before that they go live, and leave a rating and a review on Apple Music or Spotify or wherever you're listening. Those are great ways to get in touch with us as well. That's it. I just wanted to say that. And now on to the episode. Thank you.
Press, the podcast where two music fans pick a classic album completely at random. Using the patented random album generator, they are given an album to review from a curated list of over 1,000 classic releases, spanning multiple genres. And now onto the show. Here are your hosts, Jeremy Boyd and John Van Dyke.
Hey, hey, welcome to Polyphonic Press. I'm Jeremy Boyd.
And I'm John Van Dyke.
And let's not waste any time. We've got the patented random album generator right in front of us here. So let's hit the button and see what album we're going to be listening to this week. And the album we're going to be listening to is Elton John, Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy.
I think this is a pretty early Elton John album.
Not too early. I think it's mid-70s. He put out a lot of albums, though.
Yeah, he did.
Yes, this is okay. So this is what it says on allmusic.com. It says, sitting atop the charts in 1975, Elton John and Bernie Taupin recalled their rise to power in Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy, their first explicitly conceptual effort since Tumbleweed Connection. It's no coincidence that it's their best album since then, showcasing each at the peak of his power as John crafts supple, elastic, versatile pop, and Taupin's inscrutable wordplay is evocative, even moving. What's best about the record is that it works best of a piece. Although it entered the charts at number one, this only had one huge hit in Someone Saved My Life Tonight, which sounds even better here, since it tidily fits into the musical and lyrical themes. And although the musical skill on display here is dazzling, as it bounces between country and hard rock within the same song, this is certainly a grower. The album needs time to reveal its treasures, but once it does, it rivals Tumbleweed in terms of sheer consistency and eclipses it in scope, capturing John and Taupin at a pinnacle. They collapsed in hubris and excess not long afterward. Rock of the Westies, which followed just months later, is as scattered as this is focused. But this remains a testament to the strength of their creative partnership. Okay.
All right.
Okay, so this was released on the 23rd of May, 1975. Genres are rock and pop, and released on MCA Records in the US and DJM Records in the UK, and produced by Gus Dudgeon. And so it has 10 songs on the album, and it's divided from between side one and side two, you know, five and five. It's divided evenly. So what we do is we listen to half of the album and then pause halfway through and sort of assess the album at the midway point. And so if you're listening along with us, which we encourage you to do, we'll stop. The album starts with the title track, Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy, and ends with Someone Saved My Life Tonight. So that's where we'll take a pause. And if you're listening along, I've linked the album in the show notes to both Spotify and Apple Music, so you can get it on your preferred platform. And without further ado, okay, so here we go. Here is the title track, Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy. Okay, and ending side one with Someone Saved My Life Tonight. Yeah, this is kind of interesting. I was just reading a little bit about the album, and apparently it's autobiographical of what it's about is basically the early struggles of Elton John and Bernie Taupin. Bernie Taupin is, if you don't know, is Elton John's lyricist, and how their partnership works is Elton writes the music and Taupin writes the lyrics, and they both say they can't do the other. Like, Elton can't write lyrics, but he can write the music, and Taupin can't write music, but he's good with lyrics, so they work well together. But anyway, it's autobiographical about their struggles and trying to make it in the music business, basically. Having said that, it's a little overproduced.
Yeah, but I think a lot of Elton John stuff sort of was. That's just sort of the sound he has. It's not for everybody. I think I liked Goodbye Yellow Brick Road a little better than this one. I think it's just a little bit of a better album so far, from what I've heard anyway. But there's still some good stuff on this. It's still a pretty good, I'd say when it comes to an Elton John album, this is still pretty good for him. It seems pretty focused, and they've got a definite vision for this album, and that comes through.
So. Yeah. Yeah, no, it is interesting. Like, I think it was the first song, or maybe, I can't remember one song, but it just kept getting, like, stuff added on to it. It's like, okay, there's another thing, and then another thing, and another thing. It's sort of like, okay, all right, I see what they're doing, but do they need all the strings and the percussion and everything? Like, do they need all of that? The songs are great. The songs are great. Like, the actual songs. It's just, I don't know. I think it's when this is sort of the excess of the 70s, you know, starting to creep in here. It's not necessarily a bad thing. But also, like, the reason I'm kind of on the fence about it is because, well, sometimes all that stuff that they added on, sometimes it really does work. But it doesn't work all the time. You know, it's the songs are great, and sometimes all the extra stuff is, because really I'm envisioning this as like a stage play, and sort of the soundtrack to the stage play. And sometimes it really, okay, yes, I'm right. Like, I'm sort of visualizing myself in the audience. It's like, okay, yes, I'm watching this show, and everything that I'm hearing makes total sense.
Right. Yeah. And, like, stage productions are famously sort of overproduced when it comes to sound like that.
Yeah, and they kind of have to be, because it's sort of, you're playing to this big theater, and you kind of have to overproduce it. I guess you have to be a little over the top. No,
maybe it was never my favorite sound, but
no, mine either. But it is interesting. I was reading about the song in particular, Someone Saved My Life Tonight, which is the only hit on the album. It's the only single released from the album. And what it's actually about is, it's so Elton John played in this band called Bluesology, and he was in the band with, actually where he got the name, it was two people in the band was Elton Dean, which is a saxophone player, and yeah. Long John Baldry.
I know Long John Baldry.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, see, he really respected those guys as musicians. So he, as a tribute to them, he took his, because Elton John's not his real name. So he took Elton John from those two players, but they were in a band together and up until 1968. And the band split up and everybody went on their solo stuff. And Elton John was considering quitting the music business. And Long John Baldry convinced him to not give up and to pursue a solo career. So it's actually about him giving him that advice. So it's kind of cool that, yeah, I didn't know. I thought it was like a love ballad, and it kind of works that way too.
Yeah, it works that way too.
But it's kind of cool knowing that it's like, oh, okay, it's about somebody really, you know, basically saying, you know, don't give up, keep going, and, you know, you're going to make it. You're going to be okay. So I think that's pretty cool.
And he was right.
And he was right. Yeah. I am enjoying it on a level, but it's just, it's not, I think you're right. I think there are better Elton John albums. We'll see. Maybe the second half is a little more, I don't know. There isn't really anything bad to say about it.
You don't know what to expect.
I don't know what to expect, exactly. So I guess we'll move on to the second half of the album, and it starts with Gotta Get a Meal Ticket. So here we go. All right, and ending the album with Curtains. This is a pretty good album. I don't have many complaints about it, really.
No, I think the second half was actually a little bit better. It was a little less overproduced, as you were saying. So, yeah, I really like Meal Ticket. I thought that was a pretty good song.
That was a good song, yep. Yeah, it's a good album. I mean, there's really nothing too much to complain about it. I mean, it can get overproduced, but I got used to that sound, I think. And you're right, the second half wasn't as, like, everything piled on as the first half. It is interesting knowing the context that these songs were written in and about, you know, how they were coming up and breaking through and it would actually be interesting to if they made a movie about it, but they did make an Elton John movie, but I don't think it was that great. I think it was mostly about his whole career. But if they made a movie based on this, about how they were coming up, I think that would be interesting. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know. It's weird because it does feel like the soundtrack to a movie or a play or something. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it works just as an album. Maybe it doesn't need to be anything more than an album.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I don't know. I know what you mean. But as an album, it stands alone on its own pretty well, I think.
So. Yeah. I feel the same way about Tommy. I think the album is really good. The movie, I didn't really care for it, to be honest. And Elton John was actually in Tommy, playing Pinball Wizard. This is a pretty good album. I don't know really what else to say about it. I mean, it's well produced. The songs are really great, and I think, you know, the songwriting team of Bernie Taupin and Elton John, you know, Elton doing the music and Bernie doing the lyrics. I mean, that works really well. The lyrics were really interesting on this. The music was great. I mean, and it's funny, they said the album afterward is kind of when they sort of fell apart. But in the early 70s, they were putting out like two albums a year. They were really prolific in the early in their careers. I enjoyed this. I think I enjoyed it more than I thought I would.
Well, like I said before, I think it's a pretty good album. I don't think it's as good as Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. I think that one is pretty much his masterpiece.
Yeah. I think most people consider that
his best album. It's a really good album.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. There's a lot of good stuff on that. And it almost works as almost... it's got prog rock elements in it and stuff like that, whereas this one was pretty straightforward, you know, rock and almost like a rock opera sort of thing going.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah. So that brings us to the question, would you listen to this album again?
Yeah, probably. If I'm in the right mood. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I would too. I would too. I think what works for the album and Goodbye Yellow Brick Road is great. And I honestly, I don't know the story behind that album, if it's a concept album or not. I've only heard it really a few times, but knowing the story behind this album and what it's about and the concept of them sort of struggling in the beginning of their career, knowing that, I think having that context makes me enjoy the album more, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I would listen to that again for sure. Yeah. So I guess we'll end the episode there. Thank you so much for listening if you made it this far. We want to hear from you whether you agree or disagree with our review of the album. You can do that by going to the contact page at polyphonicpress.com/contact. And while you're at the website, you can check out previous episodes and lots of cool stuff there. And if you're enjoying these episodes and you want to help us out, you can always go to our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/polyphonicpress. You can get these episodes the day before they get released. So check that out if you're interested. And I think that just about does it. I'm Jeremy Boyd.
I'm John Van Dyke.
Take it easy.